Good morning, everyone. Story County Board of County Commissioners meeting will now come to order. Anyone has any cell phones or any other audible devices, if you silence them now, it's not disrupt the rest of the meeting. We'd appreciate it. And if you'd stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. Next up, we have item 3, which is approval of the agenda for this date, August the 21st, 2018. Do we have any changes to make to today's agenda?
We have one change, Mr. Chairman, that Mr. Osborne will go over with you.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. All I ask is that we continue agenda item 4-1, which is in the consent agenda. It is a policy. I'd like to spend some more time.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Is there any public comment regarding today's agenda?
We're going to move it up to the next meeting.
Do you have an indefinite date to continue this to?
There's no specific.
Okay. Once again, any public comment today? All right. I can get a motion to approve today's agenda with the
continuance
of Item 4-1.
Yeah, I'll make a motion to approve agenda for August 21st, 2018, noting that we will continue item 4-1.
Okay. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Moving a second to approve today's agenda. The changes being made. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Move along now to item number 4. This is approval of today's consent agenda. Is there any public comment regarding today's consent agenda? Hearing none, as already noted, we're going to continue number 1 under the consent.
I'll make a motion to approve today's consent agenda, noting that we did continue item 4-1.
All right.
Second your motion.
Moved and seconded to approve today's consent agenda. Noted. Change. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Great. Moving on now to item number 5, discussion only. We'll take no action or public comment. These are committee and staff reports, starting on the right side of the room. From the Sheriff's Office, Chief Deputy Tony Dosen.
Nothing to report, sir.
Thank you, today. Great. Moving along now, the Director of Public Works, Jason Wiersbecki.
Nothing.
All right. Thank you, Jason. We have Project Coordinator, Mark Northan.
Morning, Commissioners. Mike Northan for the record. Just a quick update on the insurance repair work. We're currently standing at 99%. Station 72 out in the Highlands is now substantially complete. I do have a guy out there today. He's putting on the last finishing touches, installing some of the faceplates of the electrical, some of which was existing and some of which Public Works had installed during the work. So that's being cleaned up today. All that remains now is work here in the courthouse. Starting here in the chambers, we have the ceiling registers to get reinstalled. We'll be hanging a couple of pictures and a mirror. And of course, we have all the law books to put back where they go, and I've been working with Vanessa on that because there's lots of them, trying to figure out exactly where they need to go. We have the courtroom wall repair, this bit of wall here, and we have a little bit of touch-up in the clerk's office. All of that work is currently scheduled for the 27th of this month. They're telling me they need a day to complete all this. I did go ahead and schedule a spillover date of Friday the 31st, should that become necessary. So by the next commissioner's meeting, I do anticipate being able to announce 100% completion and project closeout of the January 2017 flood event insurance repair project. I do have to say it has been an adventure, and I have met a lot of fantastic people through the county, and I wanted to thank everybody for the opportunity to prosecute this work. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. Any questions for Mike?
Jason, what's the status on the paving, the parking area there at the Highland mailbox?
I haven't been a part of that for a little bit. I'll have to get back to you on that. So it's been back burner for a little while.
don't know if Jason has an update on that or not.
About another month and a half.
Okay.
I'll get with Mr. Wierzbicki about that as well. Thanks, sir.
Great. Thanks, Mike. Next up, from the community chest in the library, Eric Schoen.
Good morning, gentlemen. For the record, Eric Schoen with Community Chest. I haven't been here in a while, and I wanted to provide some updates, just so you're aware of some of what's been happening since we built the new community center. First off, our medical center has been fully utilized, more fully utilized than ever before. We now have two exam rooms instead of just one, which meant an almost immediate 50% increase in serving the patients, because while one exam room was being utilized, they could load up the next one and be really efficient on moving patients through. So if you come in on Wednesdays or Mondays, because we've now opened a second day, a half day on Monday, you'll see that waiting room completely, fully. People are sitting there, and they're using the services. It may not be long before we're up to two full days, so that's a good problem to have. That's what we were hoping would happen, that people would use the center for that. Secondly, we just wrapped up our summer serving 60 to 70 kiddos. They loved having the expanded space, all that room to run around in downstairs, as well as utilizing the park, which is a nice adjacent piece of property for them to run on, as well as a swimming pool. And we're just thrilled that they had the experience of having more space and more activities to enjoy for the summer. We also had, you may have seen the cow bus up in the parking lot. We had class for 5 to 7 little ones to work on their early childhood education skills so that they could work on being kindergarten ready. So we were thrilled to have that back in action as well. With the school year starting, our before and after school programs in full swing in Virginia City, and I'm thrilled to share that thanks to the generosity of the Gilman family and partnership with the school district, we now have the before and after school program back online in Lockwood. And I was at the Friday open house for the parents and the kiddos to meet their teachers, and we thought we might have only 5 or 6 students, and it looks like we'll easily have 8, 9, even 10 students who start with our program. So it's exciting because it's something that the school and the community have wanted for a long time, and I think it'll help to develop a sense of community there in Lockwood and maybe even encourage more families to retain their students in the Story County School District because they'll have that sense of home and place. So thank you to the Gilman family for their generosity and underwriting the costs associated with that. We were able to do that. Also, in case you forget, the library is still open. There are books up there for checkout, and we have computers. We have brand new computers, so if you need to check email or you want to come and do some word processing, what have you, if you need some help with something, we have people who are available to help too, but come use our technology center. And then last but not least, we do have our Halloween. Our next show is coming up on Friday, October 26th. It's our Halloween no-brainer zombie bash featuring Lydia Pence and Cold Blood, perfect name for a band for Halloween. And we will have tickets available next week. So that's all I've got for you. Any questions?
Thank you.
Any questions, Eric?
No? Okay.
Thank you, Eric. All right. Representative from RSVP, Luis Pena.
Thank you.
Good morning, Luis.
Good morning. Yeah, I am glad to be here. For the record, Luis Pena, RSVP in Story County, River District. It's been a real slow go this last month, and to be very honest with you, and that's who I am, we are seeming to be combating an issue with some people not wanting me on RSVP. And at the end of this, I will be a part as just a citizen of Story County. But I'm still at it. I'm still working hard to get new people. I will tell you that the National Night Out, I was very discouraged because I personally did never receive an invitation to attend the National Night Out in Lockwood. After an email went out to Marilyn Miller, corporate Carson City got an invitation, And then they got a complaint about me, and then they got a, oh, she won't respond. And I showed up anyway, because that's who I am. It is discouraging that we do not have full benefits, but I do know that our county is behind me trying to get the van going and traveling, and I get a little bit here and there, but I'm not going to give up. As long as the county backs me, and when I say county, I mean county commissioners here, back me. It is a need, a very big need in Story County in the River District. If, in fact, there is anybody up here that wants to get one going, I would take this on and do the paperwork behind, even up here. But I would have to have drivers up here because you cannot expect anybody to come pick up a person up here. I've had a couple of phone calls for the Highlands. And, again, that's a big traffic issue of driving up to pick up people in the Highlands to take them into Reno, to take them back to Highlands and then go back to the River District. But I would like to see the program expand. I am still working on doing the respite care program that is attached to RSVP, as well as helping with housekeeping. I'm not giving up, but thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Louise. Thank you. But just like your job, our job, not everybody wants us to be here either.
That's great. I feel great.
Anyway, thank you for the work that you do, Louise. All right, our director of Story County Senior Center, Stacy Gilbert.
Nothing today.
Thank you, Stacy. All right. Sherry Nevin. Community Relations.
Good morning, Sherry Nevin for the record. Sorry I've missed the last few meetings, just been busy with various different projects. The last meeting, I was actually at Marlette Lake attending a tour with about 20 folks from Carson City, State of Nevada, FEMA actually, and looking at some proposed projects for our water system at Marlette. FEMA has a record amount of mitigation money available this coming year, and so the state's looking to tap into that to make some needed improvements to the water system. So the lead agency on the project is State of Nevada Public Works. We'll be there to, you know, assist them however we can with gathering data and different information. So it was a well-represented tour. I think the folks from FEMA Region 9 saw what's there. They were pretty impressed with our system and how it's functioned for this long, and that there is a need to make some improvements. So we have some flu shot clinics coming up here. You may have seen some notices out on social media, local papers. September 12th will be our first one. That'll be at the Lockwood Community Center from 9 to 11. September 13th, they'll be here in Virginia City at the Senior Center, again from 9 to 11. And then on October 17th, we have one scheduled from 10 to 12 at the Mark Twain Community Center. Grants have been pretty busy here the last couple months as we're closing grants, starting new grants, and researching a few new funding streams. We've been working with the Comstock Cemetery Foundation. I'm not sure if you've noticed, but they're very close to being done with their visitor center out there, the porch reconstruction. They should be wrapped up with that by about the middle of September. So they've been fantastic to work with, and they're very thankful for our support in helping them obtain those funds to be able to do that. We've also been working with St. Mary's Art Center. We've been a little bit delayed in getting that project started, just scope of works and having enough money to do what they need to do, but happy to report that we have a contractor on board, and they're beginning the process to make some needed improvements to that porch and some drainage issues down there. So, again, short little time we have here, but we'll have everything wrapped up again by the middle of September. So we also worked with the school district through our local emergency planning committee to obtain a United We Stand grant to assist the school district in installing a single point of entry at each school. So they'll have one entrance that's monitored by video camera and basically monitoring in and out of the school. So first day of school was yesterday. I got a call from Todd saying things are working out great. So, again, they're very thankful for that as well. And Stacy and I will be taking over the 4-H Cook Lovers Club from John and Eileen Harrington, who've done it for many, many years, and they're stepping down, much-needed retirement. So Stacy and I have decided, sure, we'll do it. So that's open to fifth graders here at the Hugh Gallagher Elementary School. So we'll be getting that started towards the end of January. So looking forward to doing that. We also, I think Pat mentioned at the last meeting, but we have an open house scheduled for the museum just to kind of showcase the mural that's completed. That's October 4th from 5 to 7 p.m. One other thing that I want to make mention of that will be coming is we'll begin construction on the 5-mile waterline replacement project. You will be noticing closures on Ophir Grade coming up here within the next few months. So just keep that in mind. I know that's a heavily traveled area for off-road vehicles, people walking and such. So that area will be closed with the exception of emergency access. And that's all I have.
All right. Any questions for Sherry? Thank you, Sherry. All right. County Fire Marshal, Martin Azevedo. Okay, great. Thank you. Well, the Tourism Department to VCTC, Director Denny Dawson.
All right, I'm going to set you up a little bit here. Obviously, with the many events we have in Virginia City, you can't always make every one of them. Even myself, I can't make every event. One of the opening ceremonies or opening acts that we do is
we're going to...
Okay. One of the opening acts that we do in the for the rodeo and the Fiesta del Charro is to bring every kid into the arena. On Saturday, there must have been 75 kids. And a great big circle around the arena. The clown throws out the coins. And if they grab one, they get to redeem a ice cream cone back up at Grandma's Fudge. So I just want to make sure that you commissioners had a little bit of part of the action and we could go up and redeem an ice cream cone at Grandma's Fudge. With that, running to the bowls, I guess, part one was amazing. It was seven or eight Longhorns. We didn't know what to expect. A lot of work from the sheriff department to get all the cars off the street. But it was special. And I think it's something that now we see how it works and how getting animals from the arena, going through people's yards and whatnot, bringing them up the backside to avoid the traffic and the train, getting them back through town and down to the arena was neat. It was neat, and something that even the Reno Rodeo folks that came up and helped support the event are like, this is cool, and they want to continue that and make it bigger. So with that, it was a packed house both days. But I will admit, on Sunday, I was telling a few people, and showtime was 1 o'clock, and about 12:30, five people were in the stands. Five. I had about a coronary. But we drove uptown real quick. We sent a couple of dancing horses up there. Everybody was uptown shopping, grabbing lunch or whatever before they came down. And by the time the national anthem was, it was just a solid line until the show was over. They were still coming down to enjoy the mariachi bands and the entertainment we had down there. It was amazing. The Eskimosa groups, the dancing horses, the whole thing was just, it was neat. It was neat to see a different demographic of folks we tried to reach out to, responded, and enjoyed themselves. So I look forward to many years on that one to come. With that, I do want to thank, Jason may have stepped out, but him, Public Works, and you folks with approving the purchase of equipment saved us thousands of dollars. Having the dial lift, having the skip steer, some of the new equipment that Jason has to be able to use to put the stuff in and move panels, it saved us a lot of money. Ames Construction, what they did with the fairgrounds, again, Jim, was amazing. It really helped us out a tremendous amount getting the property in line down there. So my hat's off to them. We couldn't have done it without them. It was great. Got Civil War days coming up here over Labor Day weekend, and then we'll go right into Camels and, 4 days or 3 days worth of four shows. So that's kind of what we're in, heading into a busy September right now.
Well, I was out of town over the weekend, but I was able to follow the rodeo on social media, and it was great coverage by the local Reno television stations and that, and Twitter and Facebook and all of those things. So the word got out there, and you got the attendance, so that's good.
Thanks.
Any questions for Dan?
I do have a comment. I just wanted to commend Denny and his team. I think last year the rodeo was probably a disappointment for everybody. I got home Sunday just as the rodeo was starting. Don't know that I've seen the parking lot that packed. Don't know that I've seen such great teamwork. The street I live on, it now serves as a primary or a secondary egress street after the event ends up. And I have to tell you, there's a lot of traffic on the street, but it was orderly traffic, and it went very well. So I thought it was a super event, Denny. Great job.
Next up, Fire Chief Jeff Nevin.
Good morning, Commissioner. For the record, Jeff Nevin. Just want to let you know that we sent a brush engine to Elko County yesterday afternoon to assist them with the large fire that they have. They were part of a task force through Department of Emergency Management from the state. They actually ended up in Oahe last night to assist in structural protection for the Indian Reservation up there. So all reports, everybody's good and safe, and they're protecting the community there. And on the wild end note, I just want to remind everybody that we are still in fire season. Seems like a year-round season these days, but just remind everybody to be extra vigilant, hot, dry, windy weather. I believe we tied a record yesterday in Reno with 51, 90-plus degree days, so it's prime. There was two fires in the local area yesterday, over 200 acres in Carson City, by the rifle range, and a 30-acre fire in South Reno. So just remind the public to be careful when you're out in the wild land. Fire restrictions are still in effect on federal, state, and private lands. So that's all I have if you have any questions.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you.
All right. Next up, Director of IT, James Dean.
Good morning, Commissioners. James Dean, Story County IT. Just a quick update. The next generation firewall has been installed in the courthouse, and that's providing some pretty epic insight into our network, both internally and externally. We've already taken actions on several things that we weren't aware of before. So the new firewall is working great, went in very smoothly, haven't had much of any complaints, and very happy about that. The fiber line in the Lockwood Sheriff substation is operational. I expect to have the body cams put on that by next week, and that'll improve our public services down in Lockwood. That's all I got.
All right. Any questions for James?
No. Thank you,
James.
Thank you.
All right. Next up is our Director of Planning and HR, Austin Unger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. I just have three items. The first one is good news. Our lands bill has been introduced by Senator Catherine Cortez Masto into Senate committee. So it is in the machine now and going through its process. Heller will be signing that bill here very soon as well, and we'll see what happens at the end of that. Secondly, Kathy's been working very diligently for quite some time now in preparing for our FEMA NFIP floodplain audit by FEMA. This is a five-year thing that happens, and they'll be going through all of our practices and our ordinances and our building permits and everything that has happened in the last 5 years and determining ultimately where we land on our community rating system. She's been working very hard to work with the FEMA folks and getting what we need to do done and setting our ordinances up. And we're, as you're aware, working with Lovebird and updating our FEMA floodplain ordinance, and that stuff is expected to be pretty good. All of this will translate directly into the required flood insurance rates for residents in Lockwood, so we take it very seriously in maintaining our existing CRS rating, and we believe that in the next round we might be able to actually improve our rating. And last but not least, there's been quite a bit of regional cooperation between NDOT and Washoe RTC and our county and the other counties in the region. And what kind of in a nutshell of what happened in a most recent meeting is discussing a lot of efforts that Tesla, Panasonic have taken to get people off the highway and into buses and vans out to their place, as well as the same thing happening with other companies out of Tri. Right now, about 1,000 people every single day are either on my ride to work busing, going to Tesla and other companies, or an event pool system. And we believe potentially the conversations could be is, you know, instead of running buses out to Tri and fixed route types of systems, maybe we could work with the private sector a little bit more closely and sponsoring and helping provide programs to companies out of Tri to get their employees to be able to have a reliable ride to work and back and something that they can enjoy and help save some money on and keep people off the interstate. So that's what's going on with that, and that sector will continue on. That's it.
Thanks, Austin.
Thank you.
Any questions for Austin? No?
Good job.
Over at the Comptroller's Office, Mr. Gallagher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As we have been explaining for about a year now, we have are moving our technology base from a hard-coded platform to the cloud. By way of introduction, I would like to introduce Jacqueline Jones from Tyler Technologies out of Houston, Texas, who has been up here for the last couple of weeks, giving us some very big insight into this very, very powerful infrastructure. James Dean and a lot of those people his age are embracing it, enhancing it. There's people like me who have probably been on suicide watch for the last week. But we'll get this done. It's so dynamic. It's unbelievable. It makes me just wonder. We are going to have end-user training probably in the next couple of weeks, and we're going to go live the third week in October. So we're heading down that road.
All right. Well,
thanks, Jackie.
Any questions for Mr. Gallagher?
Good job.
If I may, I want to, she stood briefly. I'd like her to stand again, Jacqueline, if you would. I want to commend Jacqueline and her company, Tyler. We see many vendors as staff in the course of the days and weeks and months and years, and I have never found a vendor that has been as good as Jacqueline has. She comes into our offices, all of our offices, and she lights up an entire room. She's patient with people like me and others through the process, and you're a great representative of your company, and we're so blessed to have you up here working with our team. Thank you.
Thanks for that, Pat. Next up is Special Counsel Robert Morse.
Nothing today. Thank you.
Nothing today. Chief Deputy District Attorney, Mr. Loomis.
Nothing today, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
County Manager, Mr. Whitman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Two items, usually on the off meetings where Mike Nevin is not presenting updates. I like to keep everybody posted on really now three of our big projects, the sewer pipeline project being chief amongst them. We're now into our 44th week of our project. We are 347 days into substantial completion out of a target of 430, so we have 83 days left. We're really in what I would probably stereotype it as the cleanup mode. There's still a few connects going on, but they're out in the peripherals. We're working our way up the divide as far as we can till we literally exhaust every penny from USDA and that Hugh will kick loose. We're mostly cleaning up and just finishing up the last-minute stuff. Jim at Ames is running his crews as much as he can, but they're also looking for work now. One great milestone that we had not even planned on, and this tells you how dynamic the project can be and the people with the project, including Commissioner McBride, Chief Nevin, Sheriff Antonaro, and others. One morning as we were putting pipeline on E Street to the north of the depot, the superintendent, Jim Jarrett, came to me and he said, you've been talking about connecting E Street down into Mill, and we were all afraid because it had a big drop off, but he says, come take a look at what we've done just for the pipeline. And literally in 24 hours, we have now a road. It's not paved yet. It's dirt. But if you haven't taken E Street past the Silverland and connected, it's going to be really cool once we get the pavement on there. So that was fun. So that's pretty much the bulk of the pipeline project. Our other two projects Sherry mentioned, so I won't belabor that. We've kicked off our 5-mile waterline project, and then the other big one for us that we're waiting right now is our Gold Hill solution. We have problems with our septic system down there. We've done some modeling on discharges and how they never come near the Carson River, and now we're waiting for blessings from both MDEP and US EPA. So that's that one. And then got a email the other day asking a very great question. When we presented the EDFP at the last meeting, I believe, Marty's slide, his last slide, said these are the next steps. And they actually listed action items to be done today relative to first steps to establish the tax increment area. As you'll notice on the agenda, they aren't there. And I was asked why, so I thought that question deserves not only a direct answer back to the author of the email, but also the opportunity to say, to you folks, not only why they aren't, but what to expect next and what progress has been made in the last few weeks since the initial presentation. So the reason why the tax increment area item that appeared on Marty's slide was not on the agenda is there's a section in NRS that we're working with that requires approval of the Legislative Interim Finance Committee before this board would consider any actions on that. We had anticipated an IFC meeting last week, but we didn't make it on their agenda. So we'll be bringing that back to you, we believe, probably in a workshop format. At a meeting coming up in September, and then we'll go to IFC, and if we get approval, then we would come back hopefully for a special meeting shortly thereafter just to approve that to keep this, on a track. The fact that we don't have anything on the agenda certainly doesn't mean that we haven't been working hard on it. And I want to again thank, as I do all the time, our internal team of our comptroller, Hugh Gallagher, and our chief deputy district attorney, Keith Loomis. It really proves, I think, that three heads are better than one. So what we've accomplished was last week, I believe on Tuesday, Hugh and I went to GOED, and we received unanimous approval after some pretty sharp questions, I would say, but good questions. We've engaged primarily through Marty Johnson, our financial analyst, in talks with the state treasurer's office. We met with the full team all morning long yesterday to clarify the status of where we are in this project, who's in the special assessment district, who's not in. A few of the parcels have been removed, and our appraiser, Mark Stafford, and our assessment engineer, Brent Farr, are recalculating the value coverage numbers to make sure that they're still adequate or more than adequate. The three of us went down and met with the director of taxation, the deputy director of taxation, and a management analyst yesterday who's a specialist in structures like this. There's never been a tax increment area done, and we talked mostly about the mechanics of the funds flow process. We finalized, today I hope to submit one additional, been calling it a safety net. It's really more of a replenishment tool that if we ever got all the way through those safety nets down to the uncommitted reserves of the general fund balance, if we ever got down there, this would hopefully act as a replenishment mechanism. I hope to be able to get that out today. Ms. Loomis has been a big help on that one. What to expect next would be at our September 4th meeting, we've now received, or Marty's received, preliminary special assessment district and tax increment area revenue numbers. We hope to be in position to be able, after we pretty much review those, check them for accuracy. We want to make sure we plan on reviewing those with you on September 4th. And then our bond council has got a huge number of items that are integral steps. I will just run through a few of those. The preliminary plans resolution, a resolution approving the financing agreement, a full and detailed plans resolution, final assessment role resolution, a creation ordinance, and an assessment ordinance. And keep in mind that as far as the ordinances are concerned, which are the real legally binding documents, it's going to take two readings. So those are all targeted in and obviously all predicated on prior approvals and ongoing approvals should we get there. So that is pretty much it on the SAD and TIA and my report. So.
Great. Any questions for Pat? That's it. Great. All right. Move on to County Clerk, Vanessa Stevens. Nothing today? All right. That covered all the bases. All right. That will go ahead and conclude the committee and staff reports. Moving along now to item number 6. These are board comments, and we'll take no action to public comment. I'll start down on the far end of the table. Commissioner Gillen?
Nothing today, sir, except real happy to be back. And got a new shoulder in place, and life is easier.
Welcome back, Commissioner.
Thank you. Welcome back.
All right. Commissioner McGuffey.
Yes. Well, my topic's going to be about the B&T. And first I want to thank Stacy at the Senior Center. And I kind of hooked her up with Elaine because the B&T needed some chairs. Stacy needs new chairs, so now the B&T is going to get recycled chairs here. Thank you, Stacy. And speaking of the B&T, yesterday I had the opportunity to sit with Michael Wilden. He's the chief of staff for the governor, and along with Pam Robinson, she's the policy director there, concerning the B&T. It's like we've got a new board, we've got a handle on the budget, but there's still a lot of work to do to finish the reconstruction of the rail. And right now, and we don't see the train making a lot of money to build $1 million of rail, worth of rail. So we're operating okay, but as far as trying to save, you know, the River Loop is a $6 million, was projected at $6 million. It's like it would take us 50 years to save $6 million if you can get close to that. So I took it upon myself to go sit with them and say, okay, well, how can we get the state more involved? They were involved in the very beginning of the railway. So it was a very good talk. The governor does have an account that he divvies out to various charities and like the Boys and Girls Club and stuff like that. And we just haven't applied to be on the list. So we're in process of doing that. And they've also recommended that we do a BDR and get the state to commit and to annual funding for the railway. So when I walked out of there yesterday, I felt pretty light on my feet. It was a good feeling that they were all behind us and they were willing to help do some of the groundwork for us as well. So more to come. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Jack. I've been off for a couple of days, so I don't have a lot to report on. But prior to taking a few days off, I did attend the National Night Out in Lockwood. Temperatures exceeding 100 degrees down on the river. It was amazing. The turnout down there was huge. It was just the community really comes out and supports what goes on down there. So. They had the regular hot dog fry and that, and ice cream and brownies, and I'm forgetting one of them. It was a real special treat down there. But the sheriff's office was there, and with a bunch of their staff, and the fire department was there with a bunch of their equipment. The table was set up for community services and emergency management, and some of our, I think the Senator Heller had his representative there to go ahead and answer questions for people. So it was very well attended, and despite the temperatures, of course, those who do live on the river, they can handle the temperatures a lot better than the mountain boys up here can. So anyway, it was a good time to be had by all. I enjoyed myself and went home with some extra cookies in my bag, too. So thank you for all of you that participated down there and put in the effort to go ahead and put it on. So thank you. At this time, we're going to recess as the Story County Board of County Commissioners and convene as the 474 Fire Protection District Board. And next up on our agenda is item number 8, discussion of possible action. Approve a contract between the Carson City and the Story County Fire Protection District for the use of regional fire training facility. So we'll turn this over to Chief Nevin.
Good morning. Again, for the record, Jeff Nevin. This is more of a housekeeping issue. I'm not sure when the last time this contract was signed and updated. So sent to me, sent it to Mr. Loomis, and between him and Pulpak, got the proper language in there for insurance coverage of things, and now it's being presented to you. This is not something that we use all the time. There are costs listed in the contract. Those costs are only if we use the facility for certain things, or if we cap it out at $3,000 per year. We do have the funds available if needed, but it's just coming to you for approval to use the facility in the case that we do need to.
It looks familiar. I think maybe we did this last year, within maybe the last 2 years.
Could have been.
It looks
yeah.
very familiar. One of the great deals about having this this agreement with Carson City is we can go ahead and utilize all of their facilities for a fee in lieu of having to go ahead and build a facility of our own up here, which would be very expensive. So this is a very good program.
Yeah, and they have more of the specialized stuff that like you said, we don't have to build or can't build, or propane props, EVOC courses, things like that. So it's a win-win.
Yeah. Exactly. Is there any public comment regarding this contract with Carson City? No? Any board comments?
It's a great idea.
Yeah. All right. Can we go ahead and get a motion to approve this contract?
I move to approve the regional fire training facility use contract between Carson City and the Story County Fire Protective District and authorize the fire chief to sign the contract.
Second.
We move in a second to approve this contract between Carson City and Story County Fire Protection District. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. At this time, we're going to adjourn as the 474 Fire Protection District Board and reconvene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners. Next up on our agenda item is number 10, discussion of possible action. This is continued from July the 3rd and August the 7th of 2018 board meeting. So. Consideration of letters of interest and appointment of a planning commissioner to fill the vacancy and serve the remainder of the term representing Precinct 1, Virginia City, on the Story County Planning Commission. Mr. Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. As I've said before, we had a planning commissioner, Virgil Bucaneri, announced his retirement after 23 years on the Planning Commission. I personally had found him to be a huge benefit on the board, and it's unfortunate that he had to retire, and we certainly consider him in good standing and would be considered for an opening in the Planning Commission later on if one were to come available and he were to express interest. The position that he's in expires on December of 2020, so there is a little bit of time between now and that period between we'd have to appoint once again in accordance with policy. The vacancy was posted per policy. There were two applicants that had applied. Really, both of them bring something great to the table, and it was a hard decision. But one of them brought to the table small business experience, including currently an owner of a small business, construction experience, and land development experience that I think will really help make the Planning Commission whole. That person is Jim Collins. And we are recommending Jim Collins for appointment to the Planning Commission to fill the remainder of this term.
Very good. Thank you, Austin. So what we had to
do, I'll have to, before we make any motions, I need to recuse myself because of my involvement with the Collins Construction Company. So I won't be voicing opinions or voting.
Okay. Thanks, Jack. Okay, so at this point, we'll go ahead and we'll open it up for public comment. Any public comment regarding the appointment of a new planning commissioner? Yes, I think the selection process went very well. I know who both the applicants were, and both are would have been acceptable. And I think that Jim does bring a lot to the table there with his experience and his knowledge of Virginia City. It's a good choice.
And if I may support that, I would agree with you. Both applicants are certainly very dedicated to their community, and I think. Either would have made a great choice, and Jim is definitely a great choice, a great addition to the board.
Okay, so, Commissioner Gilman, can I get you to make the motion?
Absolutely. In accordance with the recommendation by staff, I, Lance Gilman, motion to appoint Jim Collins to fill the vacancy and serve the remainder of the term representing Precinct 1, Virginia City, on the Story County Planning Commission.
Good, and I'll second your motion. It's been moved and seconded to approve Jim Collins to the Planning Commission. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Can you say something? All right. Next up is item 11. Discussion of possible action continued from August the 7th, 2018. Consideration of possible acceptance of deed of dedication from Reno Tahoe Industrial Center, LLC, for the extension of Milan Drive in the Reno Tahoe Industrial Center, McCarran, Story County, Nevada. Mr. Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As I said earlier, it's a pretty simple one. This is in accordance with the tri-development agreement that we try has created an extension of Milan Drive, and under the development agreement, they dedicate it to Story County. I talked with Public Works Director, and he is comfortable that the road meets Story County building standards, and therefore we're requesting that we accept this deed of dedication of about a mile portion of Milan Drive out of Tri.
Very good, thanks. Okay, this is a standard procedure. We've been doing this since the beginning of the industrial park, I believe.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
Yeah, okay. Let's open up for public comment. No takers?
Think that the vouchers were accepted
okay.
At some point in time.
How about if we go ahead and get a motion to approve this?
In accordance with the recommendation by staff, I, Commissioner Jack McGuffey, motion to approve acceptance of deed and dedication from Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, LLC, for the extension of Milan Drive in the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, McCarran, Story County, Nevada.
I'll second.
Been moved and seconded.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, just for the record, at our last meeting, this item was on the agenda, and we did continue because we weren't sure about the vouchering process. There are usually vouchers accompanying this, and Mr. Loomis researched, and the vouchers were presented and approved back in January of this year. So this is okay. Just simply the second
step. Concur with that as well.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to withdraw my second motion on this issue and refrain from joining the conversation, as I do have a pecuniary interest in the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. And although this is a standard process in accepting dedicated roads by our county, it's been suggested by our attorney that I recuse on this issue.
An abundance of caution. Very good. With that said, I will second the motion. So it's been moved and seconded to approve this dedication for the extension of Milan Drive. So all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Moving along now to item number 12, discussion of possible action. Second reading of ordinance number 18-285, an ordinance amending chapter 2.44 of the Story County Code, reestablishing the Story County Regional Transportation Commission, removing redundant provisions from chapter 3.80 of the Story County Code, and providing for other matters properly related thereto. Mr. Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you have heard, we've talked a little bit about regional transportation issues that are going on in Story County and elsewhere, whether it's transit or buses or roads and under improvements. And we believe at this time it would be good to reconvene the Story County Regional Transportation Commission, RTC. So what this is an ordinance that allows that to happen. And I've worked with Keith Loomis in the district attorney's office to make sure the language in the ordinance complies with NRS and addresses other matters. Really, this is just the reestablishment of the RTC, and it is also defining the duties, powers, and other matters of the RTC. I would ask that I read the ordinance into the record if you were to decide to approve this. And I also have placed in front of you, as well as one for the public, it is the same ordinance, but it contains a section of strikeout text that Mr. Loomis from the DA's office recommended was to be included in the actual draft. So everything else is the same.
Very good. Well, as in all of our ordinances, when we're bringing things up to date, there's always going to be some additions and some subtractions. So. Well, we open up for public comment. Okay, hearing none. Why don't you go ahead and read this into the record.
This is a ordinance amending Chapter 2.44 of the Story County Code, reestablishing the Story County Regional Transportation Commission, removing redundant provisions from Chapter 3.80 of the Story County Code, and providing for other properly or matters properly related thereto.
Okay. Thank you, Austin. Now, if I can go ahead and get a motion to approve the second reading of Ordinance 18-285.
Mr. Chairman, just for the record, I did not say this is Ordinance 18-285. I now said that.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes.
Okay. In accordance with the recommendation by staff, I, Commissioner Jack McGaffey, motion to approve second reading of Ordinance Number 18-285. An ordinance amending Chapter 2.44 of the Story County Code, reestablishing Story County Regional Transportation Commission, removing redundant provisions from Chapter 3.80 of Story County Code, and providing for other matters properly related thereto.
All right. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve second reading of Ordinance 18-285. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 13, discussion of possible action. The second reading of Ordinance 18-286, an ordinance amending Chapter 2.12 of the Story County Code, providing for the creation duties and powers of the Planning Commission and other properly related matters. Mr. Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you know, there's been lots of updates of administrative policies and codes occurring in the last couple of years. This is another. This is Ordinance 18-286, and it really amends the ordinance regulating the Planning Commission, and the biggest portions are the powers, duties, and creation of the board, and then also removing some provisions in the existing code that the Planning Commissioners by NRS don't have the power to do. And if you were to approve this, I would ask that I read the ordinance into the record.
Okay. Before we get that, we'll open up the public comment. Any public comment on this? Sir?
Yes, I do have a question.
Okay. If you'd like to speak, I'm going to have you come up to the podium like everybody else, because everything that has said in this room has to be transcribed by staff, and if they can't hear you, we get chewed out. So I'll have you go to the podium and identify yourself for the record, and then go ahead and ask your question, sir.
I'm Joe Bowman, just a taxpayer here. I do have a question. Has this ever been put out to the public, what it actually entails? I know Mr. Osborne has it, and he will read it after the fact, but it has ever been put out like in a newspaper article. This is what the changes are.
Okay, I'll have Austin go ahead and respond to your question.
Sir? Austin Osborne, for the record. When we update these sorts of ordinances, it is posted for 3 days per NRS on the website, as well as our other posting in the packet. And in the packet, you can see what the actual changes are, the strikeout and the addition language. To answer your question on this one, there's really two main portions of this. Is the Planning Commission doesn't have the power to enter into contracts, and it also doesn't have the power to create committees. And that's the biggest change in here, as well as some other administrative things. And I look to Keith Loomis if you would like to add to anything to that, but I think that answers the question.
This is also the second reading.
It is the second reading, correct. This gets posted twice.
It's also published in the newspaper.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Mr. Morris. And Mr. Morris added, and he's right. This is also published in the newspaper, the Comstock Chronicle.
Okay. All right. Any other public comment? Okay. How about if we go ahead and read the ordinance?
All right, thank you. This is ordinance number 18-286. It is an ordinance amending Chapter 2.12 of the Story County Code, providing for the creation duties and powers of the Planning Commission and other properly related matters.
Great. Thank you, Austin. That's it. If I can get a motion for approval.
Sure. In accordance with the recommendation by staff, I, Commissioner Jack McGuffey, motion to approve the second reading of ordinance number 18-286, an ordinance amending Chapter 2.12 of the Story County Code, providing for creation, duties, and powers of the Planning Commission and other properly related matters.
I'll second your motion.
Moved and seconded to approve the second reading of ordinance 18-286. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 14, discussion of possible action. The second reading of ordinance number 18-288, an ordinance adding chapter 2.22 to the Story County Code, establishing a procedure for creating or amending a list of appraisers qualified to conduct appraisals of real property offered for sale or lease by the board and providing for other matters properly related thereto. Mr. Loomis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As I explained on the first reading, there is a different process which the county has to go through in order to sell county-owned property as there is from purchasing property on behalf of the county. And NRS 244.2795, subsection 2, requires that the county adopt an ordinance by which it establishes a list of appraisers qualified to appraise county-owned property for sale. This is a statutory requirement. We haven't had any reason to adopt the ordinance for a while now, but we do have some county properties that we may be looking to sell here before too long. And so this ordinance is before you today to for approval so that we can go through the process of having them appraised in accordance with the statute.
And properties that are leaned by the county for delinquent taxes, they don't fall into this, do they?
No.
Okay.
We're talking like where Siri Nevin's office is. I think that's possible potential sale in the future. I think we're talking about the fire district the building down by the fire district.
Not that one. The second one may fit in with the VCTC if we can get a solid plan to refurbish the Black and Howe lot across the street, and there's no need to hold two buildings on C Street.
Gotcha. Okay. Great. Any questions for Keith on this? Okay. How about we open up for public comment? Hearing none, if I can get a motion to approve this ordinance.
I'll make a motion to approve the second reading of ordinance 18-288.
And before we approve the motion, let me read the title to the ordinance in, if I may.
Oh, okay.
This is an ordinance adding Chapter 2.22 to the Story County Code, establishing a procedure for creating or amending a list of appraisers qualified to conduct appraisals of real property offered for sale or lease by the board and providing for other matters properly related thereto.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, if you want to go ahead with your motion now.
Okay. I, Commissioner Jack McGuffey, move to approve the second reading of Ordinance 18-288.
I'll second.
Moved and seconded to approve the second reading of Ordinance 18-288. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 15, discussion of possible action, modification to the Reno Tahoe Industrial Center, LLC, Story County Development Agreement by amending the Development Agreement Master Site Plan to de-annex and exclude therefrom a portion of parcel defined in Exhibit A, hereto de-annex property APN 005-031-01, and located at McCarran, Story County, Nevada. Mr. Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think that's pretty self-explanatory. Essentially, we're taking the parcel, doing a boundary line adjustment through a map. That boundary line adjustment will create a split parcel that is in Tri and outside of Tri that has taxing implications, zoning implications, other code implications. So what we're asking is that once that record of survey is created during the boundary line adjustment, which changes about 4 acres of a property adjacent to AUECC, that the Tri-Master Site Plan is scooted out to that new line, done. And it solves all of that problem. We do have one condition on here, that this does not happen until the record of survey is recorded with the recorder's office. And at that time, simultaneously, this would all happen.
Okay. Let's open up for public comment. Any public comment on this item? There are no findings on this, correct?
There are not.
Okay.
Other, it can be found, it complies with the zoning ordinance, the development agreement, all other county codes.
So it works out better for them to go ahead and do the lot line adjustment out of the industrial park than lot lining the rest of the parcel into the industrial.
That's correct. Okay. And this provides a necessary setback and some other transportation corridor and things like that for the adjacent company.
Very good. Okay. So, we're going to get a motion to approve on this.
Okay. In accordance with the recommendation by staff, I, Commissioner Jack McGuffey, motion to approve modification of the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center LLC Story County Development Agreement by amending the Development Agreement Master Site Plan to de-annex and exclude therefrom a portion of parcel defined in Exhibit A, hereto de-annex property APN 005-031-01, located at McCarran, Story County, Nevada, and that the approval is conditioned that a record of survey, known as ROS, is filed with Story County Recorder's Office before the de-annexation is filed with that office, and that the ROS reflects map shown in Exhibit C hereto.
Thank you. Legal counsel, can Lance vote on this item?
Yes, he can. This is property owned by AUECC, and there the people are going to benefit from it, and it doesn't have effective pecuniary interest of Mr. Gilman.
Very good. Great. Thank you. Second. To approve this, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously. Moving along to item number 16, consideration of possible acceptance of deed of dedication from Reno Tahoe Industrial Center, LLC. Certain real property located at APN 005-061-01. Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, McCarran, Surrey County, Nevada, described it in Exhibit A attached thereto. Mr. Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, because I hold a pecuniary interest in the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, and with an abundance of caution, I'm going to recuse myself from discussions or voting on this issue.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Gilman. Go ahead, Mr. Osborne.
Okay. This is a vacant piece of parcel, about half an acre, just over that. It's at the corner of Denmark and Peru, and is a parcel that is adjacent to Station 75, owned by the county. It could be a benefit to the county for future fire expansion and other uses. Tri-Center has actually come to us, potential just to dedicate it to us. And we are recommending acceptance of this for all the reasons described. And I'm also working with the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center potentially on updating a culvert that exists on the property that is underneath Denmark. So at this point, we're recommending approval of this dedication of a half-acre lot.
Very good. Thank you. Open up for public comment.
Morning. Gentlemen, Sam Toll, Gold Hill. Is this the property that I read in the packet that TRI is going to pay the county $10 for?
County would pay TRI.
County's paying $10. I'm sorry. Thank you. I got that wrong. I just would like to point out the irony of how in the past I've stood at the podium and suggested that when the county gives land to TRI that we ask for something for it. In this case, the county will be paying $10 for the property, and in the past, the county has received nothing for property that they've given TRI. So that I point the irony of that out. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment?
Again, I'm going to look to legal counsel. I don't think a comment like that can go without at least some explanation in the record, you know, and I'd look to legal counsel, but I see transactions going on between parties all the time, regardless of whether the county's involved or tri's involved, where the exchange is either for a dollar or $10. I would either call it a token or a customary.
Keith Loomis, District Attorney's Office. The reference to $10 is a recital in a deed. Recitals don't actually have to happen. Once the recital is made and there's a recitation that consideration is being given, $10, That is binding on the parties to the deed and makes it a valid deed. Nobody ever pays the $10. It's just a recital.
And the property is worth, although we have not had it appraised, the property is worth substantially more than that. It's adjacent to our McCarran government complex, and the fire chief is excited to be able to use it for additional storage and training.
Very good. All right. Any other public comment? Hearing none, I can go ahead and get a motion to approve.
In accordance with the recommendation by staff, I, Commissioner Jack McGuffey, motion to approve acceptance of deed of dedication from Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, LLC, certain real property located at APN 005-061-01, Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, McCarran, Story County, Nevada, described in Exhibit A, attached hereto.
All right, have a motion. Can you second that?
No, he's recused.
He's recused? I'll second that motion. Been moved and second to approve this. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Moving along now to item number 17, discussion on possible actions. Approval of business license second readings.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On behalf of Community Chest, they are recommending approval of items A through Z as they appear on your agenda. They have met all the requirements, including on brick-and-mortar buildings, safety inspection.
26, that's good. Any public comment regarding this? All right, go ahead and get a motion to approve the approval of the second license. Second reading.
I'll make a motion to approve the second reading of business licenses from items A through Z.
I have a motion. Second. Moved and second to approve all second readings A through Z. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Next up is item number 19, public comment.
Again, Board, for the record, Sam Toll, just once again pointing out my desire to have public comment moved to both the beginning and the end of the meeting. I think that the fact that public comment is reserved till the end of the meeting sends the wrong message to the public and, in fact, suggests that they come last. So once again, I would appreciate you considering moving public comment to the beginning of the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. Additional public comment. Come on up, Louise.
Louise Pena, Story County resident, River District. And I have a couple of issues that I, as a taxpayer, like I said, not involved with RSVP, have concerns and are some of our homeowners in our community are concerned. One of the things that have come up is the concern over the Lockwood Senior Community Center. It's not just the senior center. It is for the community. And we currently have no one on the board for the community center that represents the young people. We also don't seem to have anybody on the board that backs Sherry and Stacy totally. And I have got to tell you right now, those two are awesome on what they want to do, their plans, their encouragement. But I don't think we are utilizing them because the ones on the board have their own agendas. And pretty much there's a couple that don't that are wanting to see this expand. But it's not just the senior center. It is a community center, which should include the young, the ones that are not seniors, and activities should work around that, and we have too many on the board that are discouraging that. We also have ones on the board down there that don't even want the lunch program, which is the most awesome thing there is for our seniors, and Alicia is working very hard to encourage more people. But there's a breakdown in communications there. As most of you know, we have some really nasty people in Lockwood. We have a whole lot of really nice ones, but the nasty ones seem to use the voice. I also, along with the Lockwood thing, we seem to have the same little group, which brings me to the We Care. National Night Out was well represented. Lockwood does know how to put on a thing. I, however, would love to see it being taken out of the We Care group and put on by somebody else, like Jerry and Stacy, because it would include everybody. And I think they could, as big as it was, it could have been better. There could have been more shade. And I think if there was out of the We Care program, we'd have doubled the amount of people that showed. We have members of the We Care that are go around continually slander and defamation of character to the hilt. Not just our county commissioners, but individual homeowners there. We've got to take the power away from them somehow. I don't know whether the county commissioners can help us, but there's a whole lot of us down there would like to see the county not support the We Care program. We do know that it's the sheriff's program, which is all a big part of the defamation of character situation. But I told homeowners I would come up, I would address it with the county, I would be very honest on where I felt we need to make a change. And I think if we can switch it over to what it was originally, the Lockwood Community Senior Center and combined all of them, that's where we need to go. The same thing with Lance, if you're still willing to give to the van to the county, I'd love to see that for the community center and include that young kids could be on it. As RSVP, that kind of goes against, because if it goes to RSVP, we can only put seniors on it. We have youth down there that would love to come up to see Virginia City or to activities, but because they do not have transportation, they don't get to go. So there's my big thing there. We need changes. I really think most of our residents down there, we have so many of them that are our own worst enemies, and whether that changes, who knows. I do at that point want to finish with a big thank you for all of our county commissioners. I have lived out in Lockwood since 1993. I have seen huge changes and in participation. I can honestly say since that National Night Out, I have seen you guys down representing the county in Lockwood, which never used to happen, despite negative comments. Lance, thank you so much for what you do for the River District. Our food pantry wouldn't be the food pantry without you. That, again, I'm still hoping we can make some changes with the food pantry because it leaves out our young families. The food pantry only gives out food now on Wednesday mornings. And families that are working, parents, they don't get the benefit of the food pantry. I'd like to see that changed as well. But, again, thank you. Don't know what you can do to help us down there. We have a really big problem with defamation of character and the hate that goes down there. Like you said, I'm only a part of you guys now that because I'm right in the middle of that one. But the We Care seems to be the big problem, and I will very honestly, without swearing, there's a lot of people that do not believe it's a We Care. They only care about certain people, and a lot of those that really need it do not get any care that they should have. So thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Mina. All right. We're still open for public comment. Going once, going twice, see you next month.